If you love Christmas, then all your Christmases have come at once.
Ho, 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 Merry Christmas!
This is Christmas Podding, the podcast dedicated to all things Christmas.
Rudolph, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
Now you're all downloaded, let's talk about Christmas with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton. This is Christmas Podding.
Well, hi everyone. Thanks for joining us and welcome along to Christmas Podding. Our names are Liam and Ness. Merry Christmas, Vanessa.
Merry Christmas. Welcome to the pod, everyone. It's great to have you along for some Christmas cheer.
It's great to see stuff in the shops at the moment too. Little bits and pieces, the little foods and decorations are coming in.
We are well and truly into the Christmas displays and present ideas. It's all happening.
So much to talk about on this week's pod. Is Christmas losing its luster? We're going to ask that in just a couple of minutes' time. We will discover Christmas-themed jobs. We've mentioned it a couple of times. I did work in a Christmas factory for a long time.
We haven't talked about it enough, which is why it's on the list.
There are some Christmas actual themed jobs. We'll talk about the guy that's officially now a light untangler a little later on in this podcast as well. Oh, and we've done the numbers. We've crunched the calories. Christmas calories on our agenda. You won't believe, unless you listen to last week's episode, how many calories you're going to eat on Christmas Day. The numbers actually frighten me.
I don't know if I want to know this information. Can't we just plead ignorance?
Exactly. Let's start with the magic of Christmas. Is it as magical as it once was, or is Christmas losing its shine? Now, some people are saying the toys were better back in the day. The music was better. No social media interrupting your day. Do you find Christmas 2020 as good as Christmas 1990?
Look, I think this is a very difficult question. First of all, because the year 2020 now has an asterisk next to it.
Well, 2019.
Okay. Because I wasn't sure if that's the angle we were going with of is Christmas this year just going to be totally different?
Just modern day Christmas.
Modern day Christmas. Here's the other thing is that in 1990, is that the year you used as the example?
That was a good year, by the way.
I was 5 years old. So, of course, Christmas is different as a five-year-old. I mean, it is magical when you were a child, when you're not the one doing the present buying and wrapping it and got to get this, got to be here, got to do this, you know, got to spend all the money. Like, as a kid, your experience is totally different.
You just listed off a whole heap of stress that we started a podcast to alleviate. Surely none of that is in your life. Like, that's the whole reason we do this podcast, because Christmas shouldn't be stressful.
No.
And if we've taken any of the tips that we've both given over the last 3 years.
I know. We do give these tips all the time, don't we? No, but it's still there. I feel like all that stuff is still there. I think that is the core of this question, is that when you are young and fancy free, yes, Christmas has a magical shine to it, and that is different as you evolve and become a parent, or, as family dynamics change and things shift. I just think as an adult, Christmas is wonderful, yes, but it will never have that same sparkle as it does
when you're a kid. Now, Christmas has eras. So, yes, the Christmas of 1990 was a great Christmas. I was 13 years of age. What did we get? I don't know, probably a bike or something like that. We're getting into mountain bikes right
Links
about
Africa.
Then.
Absolutely. Probably your first gift box.
No, I think it came in about 95, actually.
Okay.
So it was a couple of years.
Okay.
We were probably getting them. My grandma used to give us what's one of those old sort of smell? It wasn't Old Spice, but it was something like that, you know?
Sure,
it was
yeah.
I remember it's in a red bottle, and we'd get that every year. We'd get hankies from our other grandma. So I did enjoy the teenage years. I also enjoyed the freedom of Christmas in my 20s, you know, because by mid-afternoon you'd catch up with your friends. For a long time there, we saw a movie on Christmas Day.
Sure.
There were years we'd go to the beach on Christmas Day. And now as a parent, I'm enjoying the season of seeing my kids enjoy it. You know, how many Christmas Eves have I spent up late wrapping gifts, you know,
putting up a trampoline.
Absolutely. You know, making a Christmas kitchen for the kids that took me till about 1 a.m. I mean, looking back on it, I loved it. And I imagine as an older person, like our parents' age, it would be even better sitting back, people taking care of you, you just enjoying the family. I think it's all about the eras. I think we're in a good era. Our kids are still young.
Yeah.
Like, it's still a fun era for us. We're revisiting it second time around. Were the presents better back then? See, I don't care about presents anymore.
Yeah. No, I think my kids get better presents than I did.
I can tell you what I got for Christmas 87.
Yes.
I got a Walkman.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's funny how you remember that stuff.
You do.
The reason I remember it is because I got Smash Hits 87 on cassette. So I was young, you know. There's certain Christmases that are marked along the path. You go, I remember that.
I remember the year I got my first camera.
Yeah.
With the film.
I got one. Yep. You know. Exactly.
Yeah,
I don't know if presents were better. You were just getting more presents that you were desperate to get. Like, I don't need anything anymore.
No, exactly.
Do I think Christmas this year was as better or worse? Every Christmas is a good Christmas.
That's it.
And it's what you make it. And it I think you need to go back and re-listen to some old episodes and learn how to de-stress.
To eliminate some of that stress in my Christmas. Yes, I do need to do that. But you're right. Like, we can choose to take on what we want at Christmas time, and our attitude and outlook will make a big difference.
All right, I'll flip it for a second. The music was better. I mean, we haven't had a good Christmas song since Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You.
That's a fair point.
And social media does interrupt the day. So there are, you know what?
But it also adds to the day.
Oh, no. It becomes one of those competitions. Look at me.
Do you think?
We all got presents. That's great.
Like
we're all having Christmas lunch. Like, you know, it's like Instagram on Christmas Day.
But people are just saying Merry Christmas. Like,
but making
hey
sure
everyone,
you see what they got.
Hope you have a nice Christmas.
You know, it's the humble brag that I don't like on Christmas Day.
Okay, just a bit of subtle messaging.
If I had to go back and pick an ultimate Christmas, I'd say the Christmas of 95.
So just what age? That's the teenage.
What's the year Links Africa came out?
Yeah.
It was a game changer.
Yeah.
Christmas-themed jobs coming up. We've mentioned it before. I used to work in a Christmas shop. We'll tell you about that. And the one job that's getting one guy a whole lot of money for Christmas 2020. We'll get into that on Christmas Podding up next.
You're listening to Christmas Podding, a podcast all about Christmas with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
This is Christmas Podding. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Our names are Liam and Vanessa, and we talk all things Christmas. And there's a whole back catalogue of episodes you can just go back and download. We talk Christmas all year long. In fact, we're nearly getting into the weekly shows. Come November, we'll be talking Christmas every single
week.
Can't wait. Christmas-themed jobs. There's a guy that's now an official light untangler, so you can pay him $25. Because lights aren't cheap. If you've got like lots of lights and you don't write, you know, notes to your future self or help your future self out, it can be a bit of a mess. His whole job these days is to untangle lights. Great Christmas-themed job. I know you've wrapped wrapped presents before for charity at Christmas time.
I've definitely had stints as present wrapper, and I love doing that because I'll tell you why. When you are a present wrapper in a shop, whether you work in a retail store or whether you do a volunteer stint in the middle of a shopping centre, you are so well equipped. You've got the beautiful paper on the big rolls. Mm. You've got the matching ribbon. You've got, you know, 10 of those sticky tapes in the big cases. What do you call it? You know, when the sticky tape has the stand.
The dispenser.
Like but the standing, the big one like your teacher had at primary school, you know?
What I do know about the professionals is they always have the good scissors too, not just the ones with orange handles.
Good scissors.
But like the metal scissors.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I think when you are in that setup, anyone can be an amazing wrapper. You know, usually at home, it's like you find a roll, it's got half a, 20 centimetre strip left. You can't find the sticky tape. Your ribbon doesn't match. You're kind of really scraping together all the dregs to try and get your wrapping done. Whereas when you are set up so beautifully, it's just a dream and a delight.
It's having the tools at your disposal. So people often ask, when they find out I worked in a Christmas shop for a season, people often say, what was it like working in a Christmas shop? So I'm going to tell you, it was up there with one of the greatest jobs I've ever had. Now, I've been very fortunate to have had some really great jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've worked on the telly, I've worked in radio, I've done some fun stuff, you know, I've met some famous people. But working in a Christmas shack, which was a seasonal job, it was in between gigs for me, it was only over a 3-month period, I had so much fun.
That's
now,
awesome.
I'll tell you one thing I didn't get was a lot of cash. They only paid by the hour. So it certainly wasn't something I could sustain for a long period of time. Mm. But in between gigs, it was just a fun, delightful joy to go to work every single day.
Was that a job that you went and really seeked out?
Yes.
Or did it fall, you know?
No, because I knew I had 3 months in between gigs.
Okay.
And I thought, what am I going to do for 3 months? And I actually asked myself,
ultimate,
what do I like to do? And I drove past this Christmas shack and I went, surely not. Oh, okay. And I went in and asked, and they said, you know, do you have any experience? And
I Well,
the irony is that I'd entered into the city's Christmas lights competition for many times, and I had that on my phone, a video of that.
Okay.
And I said, oh, I know how to put a good light display up. And they saw it, and I got hired on the spot for my expertise.
Did you tell them about the podcast, or was that pre-podcast?
No, this was years ago before we started the podcast. Magical day every day. Everyone in the shop is happy. Yeah. What I love most about Christmas is the pretty lights. And you imagine walking into a workplace that is lit up like there's no tomorrow. So there are lights there every day. And then you become part of the team that comes up with those displays.
Yeah.
I was up a ladder every single day, hanging lights from the top of trees. I was erecting Christmas trees every single day. I was talking to people about what sort of tree they should. I was giving people advice on Christmas.
You know, that does sound amazing.
You need a 7-foot tree. No, that's too big. You need a 5-foot tree. And this is how many lights go with it. Christmas tunes playing. It was like a scene from Elf, the movie.
Yeah.
Christmas tunes playing all the time. Now, there were some disgruntled workers that worked there that obviously put in a number of seasons. Now, I did one season. So I imagine after 15 seasons, you'd probably get sick of hearing
it. It gets a bit old.
Not for me. I listen to those Christmas tunes every single day. What not to like with a job? And I got a 50% staff discount. I honestly believe I spent as much as I earned in the 3 months I was there.
So it pretty much just
evened itself out.
Sustained your Christmas habit.
I was just buying new lights and special lights and new ornaments. And
But you're set for years now. Like, you know, once you got that stuff, you just roll it on out every year.
Yeah, a lot of it would go on the secondary tree. Like, you know, I like to keep up. You know, yes, we do reuse a lot of decorations, but some of it goes on the second tree, and then we might buy some new stuff. Or like, you know, what's the decoration of choice? Or Baby Yoda is this year's decoration of
Yoda,
choice.
Yoda, yes. Not the llama anymore.
I mean, last year we were in Paris. Sound like such a... doesn't that sound bad when you say it out loud?
Just throw that out
Well,
there.
That's true. But last year we were in Paris in the lead up to Christmas, so we went and bought 20 Eiffel Tower decorations. Our tree's got Eiffel Towers.
Yeah. You know what I bought from Paris?
What's that?
Last year.
Oh, you've been
too. I was also.
I love it.
Listen to us. So it's embarrassing.
It sounds bad when you say it out loud.
It does, actually. But
we work hard and we saved our money and we went on an individual trip
and
to Paris.
Come 2020, how glad we went to Paris last year. Anyway, I've got the Disneyland, the Mickey Mouse turquoise bauble decoration.
Yeah, right.
From Disneyland Paris.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
See, because I found Paris, we should do this in a later day, I found Paris to be very underwhelming in terms of Christmas spirit.
Okay.
And then we ducked over to London the week after, and you couldn't get any more Christmas gem into a week than a London Christmas.
Okay. Well, I can't comment on that because I wasn't there at Christmas time.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's good. Good to have a memento for the tree.
Has anyone left? Like,
I know.
I can't imagine. Oh, we are wincing talking about this.
Sorry. Should we cut it out?
No, I'm not cutting it out.
It involves you doing the edit.
But what? It wasn't so bad until you had to one-up me.
I know, but I did.
When I was in Paris last year. Oh, that's right.
When I was in Paris.
Well, funny you should mention that because I was in Paris last year. Yeah, we know. Okay. We both went to Paris.
You brought it up. You started it.
I was trying to talk about the Eiffel Tower decorations.
Okay. So are you doing a Paris-themed tree?
This year?
Yeah.
We did it last year too because we came back on January 10 and our tree was still up and we kept the tree up to March.
You know, I need a new second tree this year.
What's wrong with your other second tree?
It got too sparse. It was a white one and it's discolored. It's gone yellow.
We were talking about working in a Christmas shop.
Yeah. Can you recommend a second tree to me? I feel like I don't want to just go a standard green one, but this white one discolored, but it was a cheap white one. Are there good white ones?
Yeah. Just ask me. I've worked in a Christmas shop.
That's what I'm asking. I'm actually asking you the question.
I'm a little underprepared. Let me go and check my notes and I'll get back to you.
Do I go pre-lit or not?
Absolutely not. No.
Really?
No.
Because pre-lit are really popular now.
No, you don't. Because it limits your opportunity. No, don't do that.
Really?
These are all the questions people would ask me when I was working in the Christmas shop.
What about the snow? Well, this is... thank you for this conversation. Mm. What about with the frosted tips?
No.
Why?
Because for two reasons. They will fall off eventually and they attract rats.
What do you mean?
Oh, many times.
Why would that attract rats more than a normal tree?
Because it's an add-on. So I've many people brought back their frosted trees a year later saying, we've got mice as a result. And I saw it happen numerous times and mice would eat the frosting.
What?
We would strip the tree bare.
What about an inverted tree?
Never.
What if I hang one from the roof? I've got a puppy this year.
Well, you might as well be cancelling Christmas. So I can burn a tree.
What are you, the Grinch?
Just know stuff. I just know what works.
Why would you tell me to cancel Christmas? Because of the puppy.
No, you need to put a gate up or a fence up.
But that's ugly.
So is an averted tree. And they're hard work.
Yeah, I don't love
the decorations them. Still hang down and have the chance of falling off.
Hmm. How does that work?
Not very well.
How do you hang it?
Oh, you got to put a... I'll tell you off
air. What were you even talking about? Paris? Listen,
it was a good Christmas in Paris, I'll tell you what. If you get the chance to do an overseas Christmas, just do it. It's just the best. It's a game changer. So good, because it was cold and it was so good. What not to feed your pets at Christmas time? We've got the official list, all the food that's going to make your pet sick. We'll let you know on the podcast up next.
We're talking all things Christmas. You've downloaded Christmas Podding, a podcast that celebrates Christmas with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
This is Christmas Podding. We talk all things Christmas and we genuinely appreciate you downloading this little show. In fact, we'd love for you to give us a rating and a review, some really beautiful reviews. A lot of Christmas fans out there like us, so thank you for listening to this little podcast. And tell your friends, if you know someone that loves Christmas, get them on board. What not to feed your pets at Christmas time. This comes around every year and everyone knows about don't feed your pet onions, like don't feed them stuff under the... apparently, and you've got a dog this year, you haven't had a dog for
first
a while.
First Christmas with a dog.
Here's not... What not to feed your pets. Anything with grapes. The grapes are bad. Onions bad. Gravy's bad. It goes on. Dairy's bad. Alcohol. Yep. Alcohol. Who's feeding their dog alcohol?
Well, they might just even, you know, lick the glass. You know, you put your beer glass down on the floor and they might just come along and have a taste.
Artificial sweeteners and sprouts are on the list of the top five things not to feed. I get the onions and sprouts because that must give them some sort of internal gas and whatever. I miss our dog at Christmas. We haven't had a dog for a couple of years.
This is actually going to be a challenge for me because we also have a dog who is, well, he's a puppy, so he's very lively and active and he's half beagle. And so he sniffs things out and he is perpetually starving. Like he wolfs down his dinner in about 30 seconds and then is looking for more.
It's like having a lab. Like that's
absolutely. Yeah. Like that's the kind of intake. And, you know, I have had to learn the lesson. You know, I put dinner on the table, pop back to the kitchen to get a glass of water and he's on the table tucking into dinner, you know, like, so this, it's actually going to require some planning and just to be very careful around what food gets left out and keeping an eye on him. And it's really something you've got to think about.
Our dog, who passed away a couple of years ago, was always annoying at Christmas time, always near the tree. Our dog was great for feeding scraps too, but the list is so long.
Well, you've got to be careful with the scraps.
No grapes.
I know. Like even stuffing... there's little bits and pieces. Yeah, exactly. Like you've got to always stay away from the chocolate. And then when there's certain fruits that aren't good, like don't let them get to the pavlova.
See, I have a real problem with pets in the house. I have a real problem with pets near food. I don't say this too loudly because it's embarrassing, but I did have gloves that I used to wear when I pat my dog. So I have my patting gloves.
You what?
I've never told you that.
Your own dog?
Oh, yeah, I had patting gloves, yeah.
What kind of gloves?
Just a pair of leather gloves from Bunnings, like nice leather.
Like gardening gloves.
But leather ones, not just, not plastic ones, like leather gloves.
You know what I imagined? Washing up gloves.
No. And so the kids thought it was hilarious. So every time I'd go and pat the dog, I'd go and put the glove. Oh, germs, gross, near the food.
You know, I wondered if when I got my own dog, if you become a licky dog face person or not.
Gross.
Because I've always just been like, how can you let your dog lick your face?
And have you?
No. I have to say, he goes in for it. I know.
Has.
And I'm just like, whoa, no, hold up. It's like, gross. We do not lick face here. No.
It's gross. And look, I love pets. We're almost due for a new one, but I don't think the pets should be anywhere near the tree. They shouldn't be anywhere near the kitchen table. If you can take some scraps out, fine. It was always good for getting rid of like the Christmas ham bone.
Yeah,
you could see the look of joy on my dog's face when we'd take out the bone. And it would give him a week. He'd gnawed the whole thing down, ate the whole thing in a week. Like, so, ate the bone down to nothing, you know.
It's really good for their teeth.
Yeah.
Would you buy him some special Christmas food or like a special treat that when you're
present.
Having your special dinner, he's got something?
Just lock the door. Put my padding gloves on and wheel him outside and lock the door.
You are really harsh.
I don't want the germs.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. Yeah.
Everyone I've met thinks it's weird. I'll take it.
It is weird. Yeah. I understand the germs, but it is weird with your own dog.
And I really hate going to, if I go to someone else's house and they've got a dog and they don't have as strict a rule as me, I struggle to eat there. What do you mean the dog's in the kitchen? What? And I'm not talking about you here.
Yeah, I feel like there's an implication.
Absolutely not. Okay. No, because I know you've got strict hygiene protocols. I've seen it in action. But no, I'm not a big fan. So apparently just don't feed your dog anything.
Just go to the pet shop
buy something. Ear.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, buy him a couple of pigs
buy
ears.
Something appropriate.
It's $6 for $2. So get him a pig's ear. It's a great idea. Yeah. Speaking of food, Christmas calories are coming up next. You won't believe how many calories we are predicted to eat at Christmas Day.
I think I'm busy for this segment.
It's through
the
roof. It's through the roof. I'll tell you next.
The most wonderful time of the year starts with a Christmas podcast. You're listening to Christmas Podding, a podcast where Christmas calls home with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
This is Christmas Podding. Our names are Liam and Vanessa, and we do love to talk all things Christmas. And Christmas calories are on our agenda right now. What are we really eating on Christmas Day? Would you fall over if I told you the daily Christmas Day intake is 7,000 calories?
Oh, my gosh.
So what's normal?
2,000?
Yeah.
Yep, it's probably...
A big day.
As a general average adult.
That's for men, 2,000. Yeah. Like 1,500 for women. Yeah. So you're doing three to four times your calories. 3 to 4 times.
You know, it's horrible to hear that, but yeah, I would definitely eat that on Christmas Day.
Pudding's probably one of the worst, 300 calories.
Yeah.
Cake's about 250. Roast dinner's up there. The roast potatoes.
Oh, you just duck fat.
I bought Vanessa some duck fat the other day. How good was it? What did you do with it?
Potatoes, like roast potatoes.
Yeah.
And wow, it is.
It's a game changer.
Next level.
Yeah. Like, I got all that from Jamie Oliver. Jamie Oliver was using suet, which you can buy at Coles, and then I went from that to duck. Duck fat was more expensive.
You know, here's what I think really tips over the Christmas calories is the way you just, like, all rules go out the window on Christmas Day, where, you know, a normal roast dinner would be one type of meat, three types of vegetables, and a small portion of potato.
Mm.
We go 3 meats. We go 10 salads. We go like normal potato, sweet potato, fill half the plate. And then we get to dessert and we go pudding and custard and brandy cream and trifle and ice cream.
I think it's the fact that it's relentless. Like I know that I start eating 8 o'clock Christmas morning. It'll be a big, you know, ham and eggs breakfast. You'll be snacking all morning on some sort of chips or pretzels. And then all of a sudden it's like a pre-lunch snack and then it's lunch and then it's afternoon tea.
You just don't stop.
It's a full day of eating. Should we just throw the rules out the window? For one day of the year?
Yeah. I do believe that. Like... Yeah, I think if you're calorie counting on Christmas Day, just, you know, go for a run and just eat another piece of pudding.
I will say throw the rule book out the window, but part of me also thinks there's a lot of calories. Like maybe don't overindulge. Like, do you really need 3 servings of trifle?
Yes, but on Boxing Day, go back to 1 serve.
Yeah. Speaking of Christmas food, I've started piecing my Christmas menu together for this year.
Oh, you are organised.
Yeah, well, I had these mini chicken roasts the other night at home. So, you know, they do like a little, it's like the shape of a mini football and they wrap it in that string. You know, And we had 2 of those.
Yum.
And I said to my wife, I said, we should do these on Christmas, like 45 minutes in the oven, do this on Christmas Day, portion control.
Are they stuffed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sage and onion or something.
Oh, yum.
Yes, I'm thinking of doing about 10 of those on Christmas Day.
You should do it with turkey.
Do they pre-make those little turkey balls?
Oh, well,
or
maybe at Christmas
time. I don't know. They do.
No, like they might at Christmas.
I'll probably buy a turkey roll.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you right now, never in any Christmas that I'm cooking will I cook a turkey. It's never going
to
happen.
I just want you to try it year. I just want you to give it a go.
I don't even cook roast chicken. Too hard. Too many variables. I love it and I'll eat it, but a turkey roll, that's something that...
Yeah.
Definitely going to do that.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you embraced the turkey.
Oh, I love turkey. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just not going to cook a turkey. Right. I've seen it done well.
Well, you can just save it as your special Christmas in July treat at
your
my
house.
Place.
As I said, I've seen it done well. I've seen it done very well by you. It's certainly something you do exceptionally well. So just remember that on Christmas Day, 7,000 calories later, maybe you need to curtail, or maybe you just go, well,
it's Christmas.
Merry Christmas. We'll wrap it up in a minute. The push for multiple trees is back. How's it going to look this year? We'll find out next.
You're listening to Christmas Podding, a podcast all about Christmas, with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
Yeah, this is Christmas Podding. Our names are Liam and Ness. Before we go, the push for multiple trees is back this year. We've been sprouting this off. This podcast is 3 years old. Many episodes available for download. And even, I think, in our first episode ever of all time, we said, have multiple trees. We've been banging on about this for a long time. Well, now everyone's jumped on the bandwagon. Apparently having themed trees, multiple trees, is back for 2020.
I think it is such a great idea. As we have spoken about many times, it's a great opportunity if you're a really Christmas passionate person like we are, and you have a very clear idea about the colours and the style that you want. It's a great opportunity to then have a second tree that is a little less strict. And so the decorations that come home from school, from your kids that have made, or someone gifts you a decoration that you love, but it doesn't quite match your scheme, it gives you an opportunity to embrace all of that, but in a secondary tree, and it just fills more of the house with joy.
I love the fact that they're saying theme trees this year. Have a, you know, have your main tree, which is when you put all your effort in, but then have a romance tree, so it'd be a little more red with heart shaped decorations, or have a coloured theme. This is our blue tree, this is our purple tree, because sometimes some colours change throughout the seasons, and you know, we've got a whole set of pink decorations, we've got a whole set of frozen blue decorations from the Frozen era. Maybe you've got the Frozen tree set up in the kids' bedroom. Other suggestions, the Hollywood tree, the traditional tree with candles. Like, it's actually good to play around and do different things.
You know what I've seen online, which is just spectacular, is, you know, the Christmas villages that we often talk about.
The Limax villages.
Yeah, the Limax villages. I'm getting myself quite a little collection.
How many you got now?
I can't remember. Probably maybe eight.
Have you?
Like eight pieces of the village.
See, when I worked at the Christmas shop, I used to buy them all the time because I got them cheaper.
Great discount.
They're beautiful, yeah. I've thrown them all out.
But people have, people arrange them on a kind of tree shelf almost, a tree-shaped shelf.
Yeah.
Then decorated with, you know, cotton wool that acts as snow, and, you know, even rotating. And so you have this beautiful tree that is made up of these villages.
Well, it's not, I've seen it done as a village stunning. Itself. Like, it's like they'll set up a corner of a room. Hey, there's my Limax village, and the whole half the room is,
Yeah, these themes are excellent.
You should get a marketplace. People sell those all the time.
I need to keep an eye out.
A friend of ours went and bought, Dom Faye went and bought like 50 of them one time.
He did.
50 of them.
I know, but his collection is outstanding.
We had him on the podcast last year talking about it, but he found them on Marketplace and went and bought a whole...
It's such a good idea, because they are very expensive.
Had to take a bank loan out to get it. Like, it cost him a couple hundred dollars.
Worth it. I mean, they're worth a couple of hundred dollars each. So if you can get a bargain.
Well, we'll have three trees this year. We'll have we have the main tree, and then we give the kids a tree each. And they can do what they want with their tree.
Do they do them in their bedrooms?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. See, that's what I'm thinking for this year, wondering whether to do a bedroom tree.
In your own bedroom or for the
kids? No, probably in the kids. Although I would consider my bedroom.
Because they've made some dud decorations over the years. And just awful. I know my eldest have been listening to the podcast. I'm sorry, sweetheart, but some of them just did not fit, not even a colour scheme. They were just wrong.
I just actually have hardly kept any of them. I just, you know, just filter them out.
You get rid of them.
Over the years. Do you? My mum, however, has kept all of ours since I was in year one.
What's your theme of choice? What are you going to do on the main tree this year?
You know, I'm a little bit torn, because what I've done over the past is probably 5 years is really build on my theme, which has been a really bright colour scheme. Pinks, purples, turquoise, aqua.
Great
with
Christmas
silver.
Colours. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't
really
do gold.
Yeah.
But now I feel like I've added so much. Like, every year I just buy a bit more that fits in with that scheme and that feel. And now I feel so locked into that that I don't feel like I can change it up because it would require buying. Like, I've accumulated a really big collection of
maybe just take
of baubles.
One color off. Just take one color off and...
But then, like, I'm going to have to buy a lot more of something else. And I feel like I've been really tactical in building this collection to match.
We've got rule. We don't do gold. We don't do red. So we've got which are traditional Christmas colours, and we don't do gold or red. We definitely do. We've decided to do pink in the last couple of years.
I love the brights
purple
on the tree.
Purple and silver we do, and the aqua blue from Frozen. We did a whole series. And I don't know if I've told you, but I was in Paris last Christmas. Yes, I was
in Paris.
And we're
like
gonna,
the Paris.
Yes, like in France. Wow. And we're going to do Eiffel Tower decorations. We're doing a romantic theme this year. So
what else goes with?
Doesn't matter. Just Eiffel Tower. Just Eiffel Towers.
Well, when I was in Paris.
Right. Have you been there too?
Actually, I was there last year. Now that you ask, you know, you might not know that I bought a Mickey Mouse decoration from Disneyland.
Sounds tacky.
Paris.
Anyway, like, I've actually got the Eiffel Tower, you know.
Yeah, no, but it's
they're
not,
all silver.
No, it's not Mickey Mouse. It's the shape of Mickey.
I know.
The shape of Mickey's head, and it's turquoise.
So you got one of them, have you?
Yeah.
See, that for me would go on the secondary tree because it doesn't match anything.
No, the colour matches. And so the shape is fine. No, I've got different shapes.
Yeah, I'll be doing silver again this year with some silver Eiffel Towers. And we're going to wrap it up before we lose all our listeners.
Sorry.
Wrap it up next.
We're talking all things Christmas. You've downloaded Christmas Podding, a podcast that celebrates Christmas with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to Christmas Podding. Our names are Liam and Ness. We're going to leave you with one of our own. This is us singing. People often say to me, is that really you? Yes.
That's our voices.
Bit of auto-tune in this, and we've got a great producer that made us sound really good, and there's some more songs coming very soon. But we love...
They?
Apparently, yeah. I rang our producer the other day and said, when are we recording that Christmas?
When are we?
In a week, within the next couple of weeks, apparently.
Okay.
So we'll get onto that real soon. But we hope you like the way we sign off. We hope you like a little Christmas tune, one of our favourites right now. Next week on the show, this is going to be good too. I've got a bit of a pledge. I think people need to get on my Christmas list, and I'll tell you why next week's show. Because if you're on my re-give list, it's pretty profitable for people. Because you know, you know, I don't love gifts.
Yeah.
So get on.
Yeah, you're very choosy.
And generous with the gifts other people give me. That's our next episode of Christmas Potting. As we like to say, it's never too early.
Never too late.
To wish someone a Merry Christmas.
Taking care of Christmas. Taking care of Christmas. Taking care of Christmas. Taking care of Christmas. Every day. Taking care of Christmas every way. Taking care of Christmas and doing it right. Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night. Taking care of Christmas every day. Taking care of Christmas every way. Taking care of Christmas and doing it right. Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night. Taking care of Christmas every day. Taking care of Christmas every way. Taking care of Christmas and doing it right. Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night. Be good.
We sound like showbiz wankers.
We are.
I went to Paris, yes, I did.
I went to Paris and Amsterdam.
Should not be ashamed of overseas trips. We work hard for that trip.
And look, no one's traveling this year. We've got to talk about our
trips. People are living through
our
experiences.
Yeah.